Bhute Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Paranjan. Text number 12, is that what's on the board? Na sadhu mene ta sarva bhutale yavati pura kamam kamayamana asau tasya tasya upapataye nisarumeneta sarva bhutale yavati pura kaman kamayamanosau tasya tasyo papadhaye sadhumaine ta sarva bhutale yavati pura kaman kamayamano sao tasya tasyo papadhaye. Sarumaine ta sarva utale yavati pura aman kamayamano sao tasya tasyo papataye sarumaine ta sarva Bhutale yavati pura aman kamayamano sao tasya tasyo papadhaye tathāra mene ta sarva Kaman kamayamano sao tasya tasyo papadhaye na never sadhu good mene thought ta them sarva all bhuta bhutale on this earth yavati, all kinds of. Pura, residential houses. Kaman, objects for sense enjoyment. kamayamana, desiring, asau, that king, tasya, his, tasya, his, upapadhaye, for obtaining. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Paranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Please repeat. King Paranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Purport. Srila Vidyapati, a great Vaishnava poet, has sung, Tatale sakate vari bindu sama sutamita ramani samaje. Material sense gratification with society, friendship, and love is herein compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. A desert requires oceans of water to satisfy it. And if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? Similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is Ananamayo Vyasat, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his wanderings in the different species of life, the living entity may taste some type of enjoyment in one body or another, but full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material body. Thus, Paranjan, the living entity, wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets frustration in his attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark covered by matter cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance in material life. A deer may become absorbed in the musical sounds vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that it loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when it eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even the elephant, which is so strong, is captured and loses its independence while satisfying its genitals with a female elephant. In each and every species of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses, but he cannot enjoy all his senses at one time. In the human form of life, one gets an opportunity to enjoy all his senses pervertedly, but the result is that he becomes so harassed in his attempted sense gratification that he ultimately becomes morose. As he tries to satisfy his senses more and more, he becomes more and more entangled. So the verse again, Nisadumane ta sarva bhutale yavati pura kaman kama yamano sao tasya tasyo papataye. King Paranjan had unlimited desires to sense enjoyment. Consequently, he traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadhyade Sitarane. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Aprari Shat Priya Prapya Nodvijat Prapya Priyam Stira Buddhira Samudo Brahmavid Brahmani Stitaha. That a person who is not joyful when he attains something pleasant nor laments when he obtains something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to be situated in self-realization. Vayas parsheva saktatma vindanyatmani yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sa akshayam ashnute sparsheva sparshe. So, sparshe means the senses, that such a person is not disturbed by sense gratification, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. Vayas parsheva saktatma vindatyatmini yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sa akshayam ashnute sabrahma yoga ashnute. In other words, in the material concept of life, we believe yehi samsparsha yogam dukkha yoga aevate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha, that an intelligent person does not take pleasure in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses with their objects. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, O son of Kunti, and such a wise man doesn't delight in them. In other words, our philosophy is based upon the fact that we're spiritual souls. If one can clearly understand that we're a spiritual soul, then our philosophy makes perfect sense. And if one doesn't understand that we're a spiritual soul, our philosophy doesn't make any sense. Unfortunately, the most basic point of knowledge, namely the difference between ourselves and this body or a subtle mind, is very difficult to comprehend because of the influence of illusion. And not only were an illusion, but unfortunately in modern society, people are educated to become more and more an illusion. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said, everyone is born as a Shudra in Kali Yuga, and by training one becomes less than an ass. So modern society is not only training people to enjoy their senses, but it's encouraging people more and more that this is the only purpose of life, that everything beyond it is simply sentiment, and indeed, modern so-called religion is little more than sentiment. Because they do not even understand, or do they explain to their followers, the fact that their bodies are changing, but the soul within the body is the same. And Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshi Tina Kankshati Samaksarvesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Puram. That if one doesn't understand Brahma Bhuta, then one can never become prasanatma. No one can become joyful if one identifies himself with the body. Nasti buddhiyo yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyantak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukam. For one who's not in transcendental consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? As soon as we identify ourselves with this body, we must be morose. Why? Because the body means a hard struggle, karshati. In the mode of goodness, the struggle is less. In the mode of passion, it's intense. And in the mode of ignorance, we can't even struggle. And being under the influence of illusory energy, that's what it means to be in the three modes. Sharira yadavapnoti yatschap yukramati shraha grihi vaitani samyati vayorganda ivashayat. We're carrying these conceptions of life around with us. We're floating in a conception of material existence. And according to our activities, either we purify ourselves and make progress towards understanding more clearly, at least, our existence as a soul, what to speak of the super soul, and what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or we act in such a way as to endlessly, repetitively, punak punas charvita charvananam, simply chew the chew, try to gratify over and over again. Adanta gobhira vichitam tamizram punak punas charvita charvananam. Unfortunately, Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam. People are trying to become happy. There is no one in the material world who's not trying to become happy. But in spite of all the big conferences, all the self-study, all the personal motivation to become happy, because people are not going to the source of happiness, namely Krishna, because they're missing the point, because they're watering all the leaves but not avoiding the root. They're supplying food to all the different parts of the body but avoiding giving it to the stomach. Therefore, everyone's winding up morose. Of course, those who are a little fortunate, they're less morose. Those who are trying to establish themselves in goodness, don't do harm to others, love everyone, so to speak. Unfortunately, most of those persons, they love everyone but Krishna. Everyone is nice, but Krishna is not important. But the real point is that Ananabhaya Vyasa, that the central point of happiness is the source of all happiness, namely Krishna. Therefore, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literatures ultimately aim at giving us the ability and the inspiration to focus our attention upon Krishna and ultimately give our love to Him. Without which, there can't be any ultimate goal. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido, alabhyate brahmanya dharyu parida. After wandering up and down throughout all the material universes, dukkha and sukha, that looking for all one is finding in the material world is endless varieties of so-called happiness, but ultimately distress. But those who are actually philosophically inclined, those who have some intelligence, after doing that, they'll ultimately conclude that one has to focus his attention upon Krishna. That as soon as we do that, as soon as we dedicate this energy that we see before us, including our body, in Krishna's service, then we get out of the entanglement of the illusory energy, which forces us to misidentify ourselves with the body. Dhyayato visham pumsam sangasteshu pajayate. When we forget that the material world belongs to Krishna and is meant for His pleasure, and only that way can we be benefited, then we somehow or another misidentify ourselves with the body by the illusory energy, force of the illusory energy, and we look around, what object of the senses will gratify my senses? We're forced to do it. The soul has to be engaged. Therefore, Krishna says, Chaitasa sarva karmani maya sanyasi madparaha buddhi yogam upashitya machchita ksatatam bhava. And all activities depend upon me. Work always under my protection, and in such devotional service, become fully conscious of me. So we have to become conscious of Krishna. That is the protection against the illusory energy, because if we factually become aware of Krishna, His name, His form, His associates, their pastimes, the quality of the spiritual energy of devotion by engaging our body, mind, and words in the acts of devotion, then we're under the Daivi Prakritim, Ashritya, under the internal energy of Krishna, and that higher taste gives us the spiritual strength to avoid the lower taste. But as soon as one becomes a victim of the lower taste, then lust develops, and lust is never satisfied, and it burns us, causes so much suffering, it covers us, bewilders us, and then instead of trying to get rid of lust, we take it as love, as enjoyable, and we become greedy for more lust, more objects of the senses to gratify ourselves with. And we become more and more greedy, and when we can't satisfy the greed, we become frustrated and angry and start blaming everyone else for our problems, except for the fact that we haven't tried to make progress in spiritual life. We think, oh, if we elect another person as president, that will make a big difference. As if some exalted person becomes president, no longer will we have to die anymore. He'll pass the law, no more death in America. We won't have to grow old. We won't have to become diseased. Our problems will be solved. But our problems will never be solved in the material world as long as we're in material consciousness. There is no one who can help us except for one who helps us become Krishna conscious. Unfortunately, generally, our politicians are not running on that for office on that basis. Therefore, whether Mr. A picks your pocket or Mr. B picks your pocket is still going to become picked. In the meantime, we have to become Krishna conscious. Who is ever picking our pocket? Otherwise, frustration leads to delusion, blaming everyone else, all our circumstances, why I can't chant Hare Krishna. My mother, my dog, my pet parakeet, that's the cause. My enemies, I have a toothache, that's why I can't chant Hare Krishna. And then we forget what is reality, what is real and what is not real, and we lose our intelligence, what's to be done and what's not to be done, and we wind up doing the wrong thing, simply trying to solve our endless material problems without any taking shelter of Krishna. Thinking that if I solve my material problems, then I'll become qualified to chant Hare Krishna. But there won't be any time when all our material problems will be solved, and so we'll never chant Hare Krishna. As that devotee, Gadadhara, went into the house of the Qazi, who was killing Brahmins left and right, meat eater, drunkard, Gadadhara got into his house and said, "Where is that rascal Qazi? I'm going to cut off his head." So the Qazi woke up, came out, "Who is this rascal? I'm going to have him killed immediately. Call the guards." And then he saw it was Gadadhara. "Oh, Gadadhara, what are you doing here? I've come here to get you to chant Hare Krishna." "Gadadhara, just take rest. Tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna." "You've chanted Hare Krishna. Keep on chanting." Therefore, as soon as we start chanting Hare Krishna, that's when our problems start getting solved. And as soon as we think, "I'll solve all the other problems, then I'll chant Hare Krishna," when all the finances in the temple are adequate, then we'll distribute books. In the meantime, we'll just go on in the pit. That if we have faith, sometimes we think, if I do everything right, then I'll become eligible to chant Hare Krishna. Actually, it's the other way around. If we chant Hare Krishna, then whatever we're doing will become right. Then when we get the consciousness of Krishna, when we actually can feel Krishna's presence and his associates and their loving feelings towards each other, when our own loving feelings are awakened, then we'll be, whatever we're doing is right. Other than that, whatever we do to love this body and to love things in relation to this body will never satisfy us and will never satisfy anyone. The people we're working so hard for, at the end, ultimately, either they'll complain, or are they, at the moment of death, what can they do for us? Offer us a flower over our dead body. Therefore, the conclusion is we have to understand as clearly as possible that we're souls and that we're dependent on this process of Krishna consciousness. The more we take it up, the more we can do good for ourselves. The more we appreciate that this is Krishna's world, it's not my world, it's not here for me to so-called become important, it's not simply meant for struggling, it's meant for an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So in the midst of the struggle, as long as we keep in mind that this is Krishna's world, it's meant for his enjoyment, and that will benefit me and others if I do my activities that I'm supposed to do for Krishna's pleasure under the directions of his representatives, then we won't become misdirected, we won't become absorbed, we won't become in the demands of the senses and the mind, we won't become morose over endlessly trying to gratify them, trying to solve our problems and wake up the next day with a whole new set of problems to solve, another new set of checklists to go through. So while we're doing that, because we can't avoid struggling in material existence, at least we should get the right conception, find out why I'm not satisfied. It's not because I lack something, it's because I lack Krishna. Something material is because I lack Krishna consciousness. So that we should struggle for while we're trying to maintain this material existence the best we can and not give up the fight to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, the whole analogy is there. The fishermen going to catch the fish with the rod and the reel and the bait, throws the line into the ocean. All the fish are battling each other to get the bait. Who's the biggest macho fish? It's pushing all the other fish away. Finally, he gets the bait, enjoys, and then gets hooked. And the fisherman reels him up, takes the fish in his hand, cuts him open, throws his intestines and everything else onto the floor, throws him on the frying pan, and he gets fried. So he thought, I'm going to enjoy, but ultimately he just gets fried. So that's material existence. Maya says, come and enjoy, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. And we think, yes, now I'm going to enjoy. And we wind up fried. Or one time Shruti Kirti, he was complaining to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, now I've gotten married, now I can't travel with you. Now I'm very unhappy. So Prabhupada said, yes, it's just like before the feast, you're thinking, oh, when we have the feast, I'm going to enjoy. And then after the feast, you go, oh, I ate too much, now I'm suffering. If only I didn't eat, if only there wasn't a feast, I wouldn't be suffering now. So that's material existence. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
So the example is given material existence of chewing the chewed. Like Prabhupada says, like sugar cane, you chew it and you spit it out and then somebody takes that and chews it again and there's no happiness there. But what if somebody says, well, every day I'm eating palatable foodstuffs and I'm still enjoying day after day, so how could you say there's no happiness there?
So if you can eat 24 hours a day palatable foodstuff and digest it, then you'll be a little bit more happy than everyone else. But let's see how long you can eat palatable foodstuffs 24 hours a day, even in your sleep. So Krishna doesn't say there's no material enjoyment. It says it's like a drop of water in the desert. A drop of water is a drop of water. Then in the desert, it's not very much. So because we don't have the experience of what actually an ocean of happiness is, therefore we're settling for one little drop in the desert. Therefore, we have to hear and learn, at least theoretically, about the great happiness that Krishna and his associates are experiencing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are experiencing, and therefore become interested in following the path so we can get a little bit more of that experience, of that transcendental happiness. Then if we do get the higher taste, then we'll see, tuchavat, that the other material happiness is actually insignificant in comparison. But unless we get the taste, then in the absence of the higher taste, the lower taste seems quite high. people think they're enjoying, and that's their enjoyment. But if they get the higher taste, then it'll seem insignificant. Yes.
Maharaj, you speak of love for Krishna, and it reminded me of Vishnujan Swami in 1975 describing the Ratha Yatra in San Francisco as a festival of love. It reminded me of George Harrison at one stage signing a letter, "All you need is love, parentheses, Krishna." But I guess I have seen in my life that some people, it's easier for some people to love than others. And my question is, the capacity to love Krishna, the ability to love Krishna, is that a matter of karma?
It's a question of our initial inspiration to do so, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is a continuation of our previous activities. Those in the mode of ignorance will find it difficult to understand why we should love Krishna, or even the means to do so. Those in the mode of passion, it will be a little clearer to them the value of doing so. And those in the fairly or somewhat in the mode of goodness will understand more clearly its value and the methodology to do so. But in any case, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, even a person in the lowest status of life, if their devotees are sincere enough or inspired enough or powerful enough, then they can inspire even the person in the lowest status of life to take up the process of devotional service and even gradually gain some understanding of why they're doing it. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the next class. Just a comment on that point, because in the Pujari room we see all the time people come and they're asked to do the service for the deity and they don't understand what they're doing. So it's more like haphazard. You know, oh, you want these things over here, so I throw them over there. I want these over here, and I'll throw them over there. And then they keep doing it, and then pretty soon they start to get attached to it. And then they start telling people, don't just throw it over there. Put it nicely over there. And then they start to understand that it's Krishna's paraphernalia. And Krishna is non-different from his paraphernalia. But when they first come, it's not at all. And then they become pujaris. And then it becomes valuable to them because now this is what they're offering to Krishna. And you can watch the process happen. And it doesn't really seem to matter who it is if they keep doing the service. Yeah. They kind of take it on.
Fire burns no matter who handles it. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.